Welcome back to the Narrow Pod Between Pages, the podcast where we read The Narrow Road Between Desires, page by page. I'm Jeremy. This is page 183. "What I heard," Jake drawled slowly, smiling as old Cobb tried furiously to chew his mouth clear, "was that Jessam was out running his trap lines and he got jumped by a cougar. Then, while he was legging it away, he lost track of himself and ran straight over Little Cliff. Busted himself up something fierce." Old Cobb finally managed to swallow. "You're thick as a post, Jacob Walker. Who said it was a cougar?" Jake paused a bit too long before saying, "It just makes sense." "I don't know what it is with you and cougars," Old Cobb said, scowling at him. "Jessam was just drunk off his feet, is what I heard. That's the only sense of it, because Little Cliff ain't nowhere near his trap line. Unless you think a cougar chased him almost 2 whole miles. Old Cobb sat back in his chair then, smug as a judge. Jake glared venomously at Old Cobb, but before he could make some further argument for cougars, Graham chimed in. "A couple kids found him while they were playing by the falls. They thought he was dead and ran to fetch the constable, but turns out he was just headstruck and drunk as a lord. The little girl said he smelled like drink, and he was cut up from some broken glass there, too." Old Cobb threw his hands up in the air. "Well, ain't that the end of the page?" I'm Jeremy.
I'm John.
And I'm Joy. I love this page.
It's a lot of fun. And so let's just really quick mention, Jeremy's here. That's great. We Yay. Have achieved the hat trick of all of the trio as guests on the show. So we're super excited to have Jeremy on for the next little run of episodes here.
Trio unlocked.
Yeah, you've got all the little bits of your Triforce.
That's right. All the Triforce pieces. Okay. So, yeah, I love this at the beginning. Jake is just kind of like taking his time, and Cobb's like trying to clear his mouth so he can, put his own two cents in there. That's good stuff.
I think it's really funny, the line, "I don't know what it is with you and cougars." I wanted to say it back to someone else, like to Jeremy or you, but.
A timeless question, to be sure. What is it with you and cougars? The way I read that is like, and like, I have also been in this position where like a conversation is happening. I am eating. Someone has said some nonsense. And I need to like correct them, but I have a mouthful of like hot spaghetti and I have to get through that before I can like be in the conversation. But this also carries through Cobb's characterization that we're familiar with from the main books, in that he is always, when people are jawing, you know, in the town, he's the one who's going, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened. He's like the know-it-all.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's really fun to be back in the tavern with all these people that we actually know.
I should confess to your listenership so that they don't get the wrong idea. That
our listenership.
Yeah. I would not presume. Some people are surely tuning in to listen to you. And when I come on, they go, not so much. Anyway, I haven't actually read this book at all. So I am coming in here truly head empty, no thoughts. When it comes, like I'm encountering these pages for the first time.
So Jeremy is here as a riff machine.
Yeah, that's
and
me.
Less as an actual book knower.
Just like in real life, I'm not actually an expert in anything. I'm just vibing.
We're here for it. In this, like basically bottom paragraph, we get a little comment that the little girl, he said he smelled like drink, which in a previous page, she was there being like, "You smell like Granda," you know, like, so it's fun to get that little tie in.
That's a very like Lisa Simpson, like, "You smell like the art teacher's office."
That's a little bit what it was like, but it was super cute. It was, I was reading one of those pages and it very much spoke to me of like my 4-year-old and I loved it. Mm-hmm. We get one of these expressions that's a little bit different from the real world one. He was drunk off his feet.
Yeah.
That's not something that, that people say in our world.
No.
But we get one of those little, just slightly shifted to make it new,
make it fantasy, make it different. Drunk as a Lord is one that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, Drunk as a Lord is definitely a thing.
But whether Smug as a Judge is not.
Yeah, that's just a nice sort of resonant simile. Is that a simile?
Yes.
Anybody know?
Yeah. I think.
Okay.
That's what it is. If it's a simile, then you're saying that, you know, this thing is like this thing. If it's a metaphor, uh-huh. It's this thing is this thing.
Okay.
That's the thing. But yeah, Smug as a Judge. Like it tracks, but I think it is one of those things where like it's not a real world phrase, but it feels like it could be, which I think is the sign of like a good, well-turned phrase. Mm-hmm. Do we feel like the narrator in this book is, because in the original books, we have kind of like two separate narrators, right? There's like the third person narrator when we're in the present with Quoth, and then Quoth is narrating right, the past in first person. In this book, do we feel like we only have that omniscient narrator? Is the narrator taking sides or kind of injecting themselves?
We talked about this actually a little bit when Nick was on, didn't we? About it's like the third, it's the first person omniscient, or no? No, it's a third person omniscient, not third person limited. But maybe this is a third person. Well, because we only get Bast's thoughts.
We get really more than Bast's thoughts, but I would say it's definitely third person.
But the narrator can like jump around into characters' heads and tell us like what they're thinking and feeling.
Yeah, he can, but I feel like we don't really get that though.
We don't get like,
who other thoughts do we actually get?
I don't think we get anyone else's internality.
Mm. Right. That's what I was saying. So that means third person limited and not third person omniscient, because third person omniscient will give you everyone's thoughts. Third person limited just gives you the point of view character's thoughts.
Right. I like that on this page we get Old Cobb saying both ent and ain't, en apostrophe t and ain't, pretty close together, just like separated by a paragraph.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that we got his self and himself in consecutive sentences and that wasn't consistent either.
Do we think that's because... Is that like a peculiarity of dialect? Because Jake says, yeah, you're right. Jake says his self and then himself. So is that a peculiarity of dialect, or is that a copy editing inconsistency? Because in Cobb's case, ent means isn't. But then, well... Yeah, I mean, when he says ain't...
I would say ain't.
Yeah.
Ent is a little more bumpkin.
Yeah, but it also like it implies like a different kind of accent, right? Like that sounds more like someone from Northern England to me,
right?
But
yeah, maybe it's dialect, maybe it's copy editing. Who knows? We can't say.
Put it on the tote board of questions for Patrick when we finally do talk to him.
Right. There's RJ points out in the chat that there's the kid who brings Denna's letter that says, I am an idiot.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people end up saying ent throughout the book. I feel like that's something that Sheem, the swineherd, could easily have said. Any number of sort of rustic folks could easily have used ent instead of ain't.
Certainly.
But all right.
Do we have any more things on this page?
I think not. Although I guess my last point is like a cougar is a very North American animal.
Oh yeah.
Sure. They don't have cougars in Europe. So
true.
That does. And Rothfuss has done this before. Like his secondary fantasy world is not as like Eurocentric as like Middle Earth or Westeros, but it is like, it's kind of like Anglo-North American. And he kind of, I feel like he sort of mix and matches, like, here is an element that's from Europe. Yeah. Here's an element that's from North America, which I don't think that's a problem. It is just kind of like an interesting world building tick.
Yeah.
Cool.
Valid. Yep. It'd want to be like a lynx in Northern Europe or
like a lion, right? Or a wolf, right? Like that would be
or a wolf. Yeah. Know. Well, yeah. If it was just sort of any predator, it could be like a wolf or a bear. But if you want it to be a big cat, it would need to be a lynx in Europe. That's what they have over there.
They used to have lions and tigers.
Well, this has been European Zoology Corner, and we'll sick lions and tigers and bears on you on tomorrow's narrow page.
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 Oh my.